Welcome to Hype, episode 73. Hype is hypeable.com's flagship podcast, bringing you the latest entertainment news, reviews, and discussion. My name is Selena, and we have a full panel this week. We have Pam, Merma, and Kyle. It's a Christmas miracle. I'm so happy. Yeah. Or a Thanksgiving miracle?
No, you can't say that. It's not on the cups anymore. It's a holiday miracle.
It's a holiday miracle.
It's a Starbucks miracle.
Why do I know that? I don't live in America.
It's sad that we all know that. So, Hype this week brought to you by Starbucks. We wish. I'm kidding. Oh my God, could you imagine? That would be amazing. And we would just be like drinking Starbucks while we recorded. So before we get into the normal show and stop being weird, we want to bring you the contact information because we need your feedback. If you want to write to us, you can do that in one of several ways. You can find us on hypeable.com, which is hypable.com. If you go to our podcast post, you can leave comments on that. You can also find us on Twitter at hypeablehype. You can find us on Instagram at hypeablehype. And you can find us on the thing called email, hype@hypeable.com. And once again, that is hype@hypeable.com. We have a very awesome email this week that we want to share with you. And as you may or may not know, very soon we've got another special planned about Hamilton. Very exciting. But yeah, it's a very, very passionate podcast coming up for Hamilton. And I don't believe you've recorded yet, right?
No, we are recording this weekend,
right?
So people can send us their feedback still for
yes.
the show.
Yes, and I imagine you guys will want to use email for that because you guys probably have a lot of feels. So again, that is hype@hypeable.com. Send in your feedback before the weekend. All right, so moving into how we hype now, we're going to talk about what we've been doing in fandom for the past week, what we've been watching, what we've been reading, or if we've got any cool stuff coming up. And I want to start with Pam to be a little topical and talk about the one of the biggest movies that came out over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, sure. So, surprise, surprise, I saw Spectre, and I love James Bond. What more can I say? Overall, for me, like, I was thoroughly enjoyed. I feel like Spectre had a lot of the elements that, like, you should want in a Bond film. So there was a lot of action, and there was, you know, a good plot. There was, like, a villain that everybody was excited about because he plays a part in many of the past James Bond films. But I think that the problem a lot of people had when they went to the theater was that Skyfall set the bar so high, and I feel like Skyfall is a Bond film that, like, anybody, even if, like, they're not a big Bond fan, could enjoy. And it was a lot more mental, like, just, like, the crux of the whole movie was, like, it's just kind of like a mind fuck, if you will. And so in that sense, I could see why Spectre fell flat for some people, or will fall flat for some people, but I think, I mean, I enjoyed it. So, yeah, that's my 10-second or so review.
Well, that's good. I'm really glad you liked it.
Oh, also, I did want to say, sorry, that Sam Smith Bond song, Writings on the Wall, I know we, like, kind of were poking fun of that earlier and talking about how it didn't really, like, live up to what everybody was hoping. And I still can kind of understand why it would fall flat, but I will say that, like, if you go see the movie or if you see it when it comes out, along with the title credits, it works really well. So I'm not sure if he wrote it, like, after they told him what they wanted to do with the with the title credits, or if he, like, if they based it off of his song, but, like, paired together, they go really well.
Mm-hmm.
So
good. I'm glad you enjoyed it, because that's the sense I've been getting as well, that the hardcore Bond fans who like what he's about really enjoy this movie. And casual cinema moviegoers are a little bit more skeptical, but spectacle.
Spectacle. Yes. I thought you were gonna go for the
that's
the
what
pun.
I was trying for. It's too early for puns.
Aww.
All right, and so speaking of Hamilton, actually, we have a new convert. Or not.
Yes. Or not. Yeah, maybe he hated it.
God, it was terrible, and I don't understand why you guys
you're off the show.
Fired.
Yeah.
No, okay, so I only listened to half because I started it, like, maybe
3 hours
ago.
I'm sorry.
I listened to it today, I didn't realize how long this freaking soundtrack was. Oh my god.
Yeah, Kyle, it's the whole show. I told you that.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why. I was just blown away. But okay, I listened to literally a half. I haven't gotten to the second part yet. Oh my god. It's so good. I'm
so relieved you said that.
Where was it? I'm looking at the list right now. You'll Be Back. Oh my goodness.
That was your favorite song?
It's one of my favorites.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I really liked it a lot.
Yeah, it's great. It's all great. You know what? You should stick at don't listen to the rest of it, because like the first half, if you've listened to the whole of the first act, that's a really good place to stop, actually, because then it just gets really depressing after that. and you just get really emotional. Like,
well, you know me. I like depressing.
Yeah, that's true. But if you stop at the end of like the first act, you can pretend like, oh, and it was all great and the end, like kind of Into the Woods style before it's like, yeah. P.S., then everything went to hell. So, like, I mean,
Kyle would enjoy it if they all die, because that's like what he's into.
Oh, do they all die? Because that'd be great.
Don't spoil it, Kyle.
Wait. It's not a spoiler if it happened in history. Didn't you learn about the Burr-Hamilton duel in like history class?
No. Yeah, spoiler alert. Alexander Hamilton for is history. Not alive currently. Like, what?
Oh man, I thought he was still like kicking. All right, no, but no, I really, really, really enjoyed it. I thought I was gonna hate it. Honestly, I like listened to the first song, and honestly, when the first song started, the Alexander Hamilton title song, obviously, I was listening to it. I was like, and then like I think it was like the chorus or like something, but something changed, and I was like, okay, all right, I got this, and. Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome.
I'm so glad you love it, but you can't come on the podcast because there's already like 14 people on it. So
that's fine.
But you can email us your thoughts at hyperbole.com.
Perfect.
I will.
I love it. And what have you been doing, Himarima?
Well, I saw The Dressmaker, which is a new release film. I don't know if it has an American release date yet, but I imagine it will be in limited release, but I know it's out in the UK at the end of this month. It is based on a book by Rosalie Ham, who's an Australian author. It's basically this kind of gothic novel about this woman. Well, she was a girl. She grows up in this tiny, tiny rural Australian town, and then she has to leave when she's a child for reasons that are explained. And she goes away to like Paris and becomes this amazing fashion designer and this dressmaker, as the title implies. And then she has to come back to look after her mother, when she's, you know, 30 or something. And she basically comes back to exact revenge on all these townspeople who like hate her. And the moment she comes back, they're like, oh, the witch is back. And like the murderer is back. And it's amazing. It stars Kate Winslet, who is like fantastic, and it has Liam Hemsworth. It's the love interest, so they're meant to be the same age. So this is the funny thing. I actually went to this with my mom. We were going to this charity thing, and I spent the entire time being like, well, this is ridiculous. There's like at least 15 years between them, surely more. And like we left it, and I asked her what she thought about it, and she said, oh yeah, like I really liked it. And I said, were you bothered by the age difference? She was like, well, it was only like a couple years younger, so no, that was fine. I was like, more than a couple. And she didn't even notice.
But isn't that
she was
nice?
Like, Kate Winslet looks so good that she could be any age.
And isn't that nice? So, because like we don't even blink an eye when it's the opposite, you know, when it's a guy and it's only 15 years between them. When the girl is younger, that's like nothing in our
eyes. Well, no, like the I don't want to spoil it, but in the story they're meant to be the same age. Like, there's not meant to be an age difference.
That's kind of so like they like age up Jennifer Lawrence for no reason and Joy, and you're like, why?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it really worked, and Kate Winslet was amazing. So I definitely recommend that. It's very funny and it's so beautiful. The costumes in it are fantastic, obviously, because, you know, it's about a costume designer and everything. So you kind of need that. So I would recommend people check when that's coming to their country, because I know it's kind of had a little bit of an international release. But yeah, I'm just not sure about America. So sucks to be you guys for once. We have something. And then I'm also reading this book, and On That Bombshell is what it is called. That was not a fragment of a sentence. It's by Richard Porter, who was a script editor on Top Gear for like the entire time that it ran. And I think I've mentioned before how I have this like a weird love for Top Gear, same as my weird love for Mythbusters. It's so funny. I cannot recommend this enough. If you are even mildly interested in Top Gear, definitely check this out. But it's just like really, really funny. So he takes you behind the scenes, and I haven't finished it yet, so I'll report back when I do. But basically, I've been reading it on my lunch break, and every time I do, I end up like cackling madly to myself while sitting in a public place alone. And everyone keeps giving me weird looks. I'm like, I don't even care because my book is hilarious and amazing. So yeah, I would definitely recommend that, but I'll let you know if that changes when I finish it.
Okay. Sounds great. And I would add my own How We Hype this week, but like literally all my spare moments have been spent watching Arrow. So I'll talk about that on TV. I'm in like halfway through season two, guys. It's crazy.
That is a good sign.
Yeah. Well, we will talk more about that later.
Oh, what a tease. I love it. Stick around.
Yeah, exactly. But before we do, we have a lot of news to talk about this week. There's a lot of trailers, actually, and a lot of Fantastic Beasts news, both good and stupid. So anyway, I'm not gonna say anything because it's Merrima's stories.
Yeah. I guess this is like the mini Fantastic Beast segment pretty much of the day. So the biggest news, we'll run through them in what I think is order of importance, although I think Selena may disagree with me. First of all, we have a plot. We have a synopsis. Guys, we know what this movie's about.
Kind of important.
Really confused. I'm so confused. Like, I'm so used to just being like, I don't even know what's happening. But anyway, I guess I'll just read this out quickly because it's not that long, and then we can discuss what we think it means. So eccentric magizoologist Newt Scamander comes to New York with his trusty weathered case. The case is one of those way, way bigger on the inside magical devices, and within are expansive habitats for a collection of rare and endangered magical creatures from Newt's travels around the globe.
Gotta catch him all.
Okay, I'm trying to read a thing here. But yes, appropriate reference. He discovers the American wizarding community is fearfully hiding from the Muggles, who are called Nomadge in the States, but we'll get to that later. And the threat of public exposure is an even graver concern than in the UK. Remember the Salem witch trials? Fantastic Beasts is the story of what happens when this uniquely skilled English wizard travels to a whizphobic America and a variety of his creatures, some quite dangerous, get out of their case. That's the plot.
Oh my God, they escaped their Pokeballs.
I mean, I think it sounds good, right?
Yeah.
This is so not what I was expecting, but in a good way.
Yeah.
Like, I really just thought he was going to be like, oh, look over there. It's a dragon. My dragon got out of its cage, and now we need to catch it before your secret is exposed to the world that probably wants to kill you.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the interesting thing about this is I feel like we all generally assumed that Newt was kind of starting out his collection, like his collecting in New York. So he would be like, maybe trying to catch things and put them in his Pokeballs, as Selena insists on using that reference. But like, it seems like he's kind of established, sort of, and you know, he's just going off to his next place. Like, he's already been around the globe and he's got all these awesome creatures, and then like they're gonna escape in New York and it's gonna be awesome. Like, they're gonna have to go through all these like creepy alleyways and like down into like, I don't know, like underground, and please run through like a jazz club at some point, like chasing some kind of creature.
And then they run out.
The speakeasies, like it's going to be amazing.
Is it, I was wondering what you guys think, because listening to this plot and like having him sort of imagining him sort of, oh no, it got out, and like dropping his case and being all like quirky and looking at the pictures and stuff. Is anyone else getting like a really strong Merlin vibe? Like, not the show, but the character of Merlin. That's, like, totally how I imagine that he's going to be. Like, slightly bumbling, you know, big smile, kind of. That's how I see him.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. Yeah, because, kind of eccentric and...
Yeah. He has all these Pokeball things in his suit. That's what I'm imagining, is basically a suitcase full of Pokeballs. And he drops them all.
I'm imagining he, like, gets the train station and he kind of just drops his case and it, like, opens and all these things, like, kind of just roll out. And then he's like, oh, no.
And he's, like, trying to get them all,
He's, like, chasing them downstairs and stuff.
Yeah, so the new title is Fantastic Beasts and How to Find Them All, and everything is good. No, I think it's funny, though. I'm keeping an open mind. I think it sounds interesting.
You don't like it? You don't sound
I think
that
it sounds
excited.
A little bit... I guess I should be a little bit less excited anyway, because it's good that we're not all in agreement about stuff. It sounds a little bit hokey, like a little bit cheesy, but, you know, again, if I'm imagining the Merlin character, it makes sense to have a little bit of a... of a quirky plot too.
Yeah, but you don't feel like that's tempered by like the obvious kind of racial undertones or like discriminatory undertones?
Yeah, I think that part sounds super interesting. I mean, it makes total sense to set it in that period, in that area of the world, because it's the whole Salem witch trial, repercussions of that must be huge for the wizarding world. And I think I can't wait to learn more about that from a sort of wizarding world historical standpoint, I suppose, I say, pushing my glasses up my nose.
Right. I mean, I guess let's remember that the Salem witch trials were like in the 1600s.
So it's like it's fallout for it, you know, it's like it's still yeah. That's what I mean. Like the repercussions are going on like for so long.
No, I get what you mean. It's kind of a funny general reference, I guess.
Yeah, I thought so too. But then I thought like, well, leave it to Joe to be super relevant and commentative on society, because I mean, America has always kind of been riddled with xenophobic issues and things like that. So for the times that like it does fit, because they would have been coming off of, you know.
Yeah, it's all about us versus
a lot of that stuff. Right, exactly. And I'm sure we're going to hear more of that talk when the film comes out, because everybody likes to, you know, make commentary about how, you know, people like to push their own opinions. But I think that it's a really relevant issue, and I'm really excited to see how she ties it in. And I'm also excited to see how she ties in the Salem witch trial stuff, because like you said, Marima, that happened in the 1600s, and it definitely didn't go through the end of the, you know, the 1800s. So it'll be interesting to see how she ties that into the story.
But you don't know what went on behind the scenes, you know, that we didn't.
That's true. But if the nomads are a threat, then I'm wondering,
it's probably just lingering, you know, resentment. And there's like it's like the pureblood thing in with Umbridge and stuff, it sounds like.
Also, from memory, I'm pretty sure there was one trial that was like maybe at the end of the 1800s, and like, don't quote me on this because this is not my area, but there was like one final trial that was like many, like 100 years after or something. So if that was at the end of the 1800s, you know, then maybe that like sparks this kind of new resurgence of anti-magical perspective.
You know what? I think you're right, because I went in researching Hocus Pocus, a couple weeks ago for Halloween. They talked about how like it's a continuity error, that like the witches were, you know, from this time, the Sanders sisters were from this time, and but like, yeah, it was like they were off by like 50 years or something like that.
Yeah,
anyway, that's not neither here nor there.
No, but it is very
interesting. It's interesting.
Anyway, it is interesting. And I think, well, we talked a little bit about the photos. I feel like Eddie Redmayne looks amazing, and anyone who disagrees with me at this point, having now seen him, I will fight, because like I've been saying this from the start. But we get a little bit of a look at some of the other cast. So these were the photos that like last week we were like, hey, something's happening tomorrow after we record.
Oh yeah.
these were the photos that they released then, and they look pretty good. But I think what is more interesting is they released character descriptions. Did you guys look through these?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we have Tina. She's played by Catherine Waterston. She is an ambitious worker at the Magical Congress in the United States. So she is working in a position like way below what she can do, because she stands up to the wrong person, and she meets Newt. So Magical Congress, like we're going to get the government, I guess, which makes sense from those. In one of the photos, isn't he standing on like the seal of the Congress, I believe? And then we've got her sister, Queenie, who is younger sister, Anna Legilimens, which kind of makes sense, I think, because, like, in a way, and I feel like it's just because I recently read The Diviners by Liv Babré, but in a way, this kind of period does suit that whole kind of fortune-telling, like, mind-reading sort of magic, in a way. Does that make sense? Like, there's definitely a culture of that. Anyway, at this time in like historically. So she kind of ties into that, which I feel like is fun.
They didn't really include a lot of Legilimens in the movies for Harry Potter. Like they had a couple scenes and a couple stuff here and there. But like, I like the fact that in this, it seems like it's going to be more featured.
Right. So it's like kind of focusing on magic that we haven't seen a lot of before.
Exactly.
Okay, and then we also have the rest of the main cast. So we have Jacob, who is a nomad, aka a muggle, who gets introduced to the wizarding world when he meets Newt. And this is crazy because, like, we have never had, I mean, Dursley's exception, I guess. We've never had, like, an actual leading character who's a non-magical person. Mm-hmm. So that's super interesting.
Yeah, I like that.
And then we also have Graves. This is Colin Farrell, who is an aura and the right-hand man of the American Wizarding World's president. So I guess that means that the governments of each kind of mimic the Muggle government, which is interesting. And then to round them out, we have Mary Lou, who is the leader of the Second Salemers, and her son, Credence, who is the most mysterious character, who is her troubled adopted son. And why do I feel like Credence is going to turn out to be magical somehow? but yeah, that's it. So we, like, I don't even know what to do with all of this information because we haven't known anything, although I guess it's worth pointing out before we move on. Obviously, we mentioned a couple times the word nomadge, which is the American word for muggle, we have discovered. And I know Selena does not like this, but I mean, the word I find is funny, although the more I say it out loud, the more it grows on me. But I kind of feel like it makes sense that they have different words for things. So
I agree.
Hopefully it's not the only one.
I mean, I completely agree. I think the nomad name is really cool. I think that the idea that it kind of sounds like nomad and obviously the whole no magic thing, I think that's really funny. And a shout out to our listener, Maya Elizabeth, who feels personally victimized by this name. I love as well, because it is kind of like the fact that magic and the language around magic has developed differently in America makes perfect sense. What I do not like is how celebrated and crazy people are getting about this no magic word. You know, we've got like, oh, we are nomads now, and oh, we finally have our own word for muggle, and oh, we, and I'm like, I'm not a part of this we, and I'm not going to celebrate it because I already have another word for muggle, and no one has celebrated that. And so, you know, and I kind of feel like, you know, I wrote this article on Hyperbole just saying there are a lot of other words for muggle that already exist, like Drausel and Gump, which is a Norwegian one, and that's my favorite, and In the books, it's not J.K. Rowling that made up the name, which is what makes this one a little bit more special. But I mean, it's great, good for you guys, but I'm not gonna dance and sing about this.
Not really, like, okay, because I mean, the reason that I said that is because I saw some like conversations that you were having on Twitter where you like did not seem very on board with the idea of like this being different, and then, you know, why are not like the words for like wand or like whatever,
yeah,
other things,
yeah, why don't they change other things? I still have that question, like not wand and stuff, but why don't we need another word for mud, for like muggleborn and for mudblood and stuff like that? I think, you know,
well, like we don't know that we different. Don't have,
yeah,
those.
And I'm looking forward to seeing those. I think that there should be other words for those, if there's another word for nomad.
Like, what I think is like interesting about it is actually that it's like kind of, it's more opposing than like the British one, which makes sense if there's like a greater divide between the magical and non-magical population. You know, it's like reflected in the word.
Yeah, muggle is kind of an endearing word, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, muggle is kind of non-threatening. Mm. And nomad is like a kind of a divisive word in a way. So
yeah,
I was also going to say that, no, I was just very quickly going to say that it is also possible. Remember, we're dealing with a world and a story that takes place like decades before Harry. So it's possible that nomad is something that dies out by the time, you know, the 1990s come out or things like that. It could be like Crikey or like Gee Willikers, mm-hmm. like things that like
you don't
we don't
Crikey
use in America anymore, but like people did.
That's
so
for
true.
Sure.
That's, I feel like it's just so interesting. I'm just so glad that we actually have things to talk about.
Yes,
that's true. We're not just speculating. Like now we have speculation on cold hard facts.
Right. Like we're still speculating, but at least we have new things to speculate about. Anyway,
but I'm pretty sure that like we're not all going to be like running around like I'm not going to be running around at like the premiere of, you know,
it's called
Fantastic Beasts
here.
People be like, oh, like my parents are nomads. I'm pretty sure that
Andrew's going to be doing that on Nomad Cast.
Yeah, it doesn't have quite the same ring to it, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, yeah,
okay,
but
well,
just, you know, it's fine. I just, you know, it was mostly the sheer excitement that, oh, we finally have a name for it that I was seeing everywhere. And I just went, no, we don't.
That's funny, because I only saw people being mad about it. So
yeah.
I was like, oh, weird. I know we want to move on, and we'll talk more about Fantastic Beasts many times on the many episodes to come. But I did want to say, otherwise it would be like remiss of me not to mention it, that the only thing in the synopsis that kind of gives me pause is, again, I'm going to like harp on this thing of, if they're drawing like a very direct parallel between like racism and discrimination, the fact that the cast is all white in this time period, and like that they don't seem to be addressing the like realities of this historical period.
But no, there'll be people of color in the background.
Yeah.
Haven't you like heard?
The third movie, we'll get someone. Like, anyway, I just have to say that, or like I'll be mad at myself. But hopefully, you know, maybe that will change as we find out more about the film. But at the moment, that does seem like kind of a huge error in this whole thing.
All right, so we should probably move on, because, again, we could talk about this all day, but this is not, in fact, Nomash cast, so...
no, if only.
But I'm sure at some point we'll do a special, and we'll all just be angry or really happy. But is not the time for that. We're going to move on to a little bit of Disney news. Very quickly, we did get the first teaser trailer for Finding Dory, which, of course, is the Finding Nemo sequel, and it's probably just as adorable and nostalgic as you would think it would be. So... Yeah, we see Nemo and Marlin like sleeping in their little coral reef, and then like Dory is sleep talking, and she also sleep swims, which is really cute. So they go and like grab her before she swims off, like put her back in her cage, and like it just kind of stems from there. So if you haven't seen this, I definitely suggest heading over to highpool.com, where we have the trailer up, and watching it, because it's really, really cute. And I also thought Ellen DeGeneres, of course, voices Dory, had a really cute, like, simple little thing on social media. She popped up. She said that she's been waiting years for people to see the trailer. And I thought that was really sweet, too. So, yeah. Oh, and the movie's coming out June 17th of next year. So we won't have too long to wait.
This does look really cute. I liked it. It
looks amazing. Speaking of which, I'm actually really, really excited about this new Alice in Wonderland movie. It's going to be, like, are you guys excited? Or are you guys, like,
the only one?
Kyle, are you telling me you liked that first Alice in Wonderland movie?
I did.
What?
I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was really, like, fun to watch. And it was, like, I loved, what's his name? It's not Orlando Bloom. Johnny Depp. I love Johnny Depp's performance. I think his Hatter is great. And I know a lot of people don't like Anne Hathaway's, like, princess queen portrayal. But, like, I loved it.
Well,
so,
it was better, like, than Oz the Great and Powerful.
Al, that is anything. Not a good benchmark.
That is terrible.
It was better
terrible
than Jay Springer's terrible movie.
No, I think it's going to be great. I think one of the reasons that I like this movie isn't story-wise. I think just visually it's a lot of fun, and I think that's why I like it. Like, you can get something to look really pretty, and I'd be like, ooh, you know? Like,
yeah, I didn't really like the first one, but I do think that this looked like a good continuation in terms of the visuals, like you said. So if people liked the first one, then I think this will satisfy the second one. Yeah, we'll see, I guess. I don't know. Kyle, you can report back on this when it comes out.
Will do.
Okay, so this really is my only story of the week, but it's kind of a big sort of, it's like three stories in one. And there's been some Star Wars news over the past couple of weeks. There was a new trailer, which is actually kind of interesting, because they said, you know, we already had the final trailer, but I guess the international ones don't count. God, I wonder what the Japanese word for muggle is. But so the Japanese trailer is actually really good, and might just be my favorite trailer yet, even though we didn't have that chilling Harrison Ford moment. In this new trailer, we see a main character, Rey, played by Daisy Ridley. She's asking BB-8 where it comes from, and it beeps back at her, and then she says, "I know all about waiting for my family." And we're all like, ooh, who is her family? Because we're all sort of assuming that she's a part of the Skywalker family. And the working theory is that she's the daughter of Leia and Han. Han Solo, sorry. And if she's waiting for them, where have they been? So there's a lot of questions. And Meanwhile, on the dark side, Kylo Ren is talking about fulfilling the Sith's destiny. He will finish what Darth Vader started. Finn and Rey are kind of being set up to be like the romance of the movie, if there's going to be one, which is very cute. Oh, there's just... Like, I cannot, like, express with words how excited I am for this movie. And, like, there's no, like, it can be nothing but a disappointment at this point because it just looks so good. And I think it just, it captures something about Star Wars that is what we all love about the world and the original movies and everything. And it has that nostalgia feel, but it's clearly not relying on nostalgia to like push people's buttons, because Rey and Finn and Poe Dameron and Kylo Ren, they're clearly the stars of the movie. And I mean this trailer, and it's related to that, you know, there was also a TV spot that kind of teases Lupita Nyong'o's character, who's going to be all CGI and is like very shrouded in secrecy, and people are speculating she might be like a Yoda type character, and she says, "I have seen your eyes." And I don't know, I mean, it's so exciting. This is the thing I'm most excited about right now.
I love that you said that about the, like, how you have, like, something about it just pulls at your Star Wars fan heartstrings, but while it still kind of shows that there's new stories to tell, because I was reading this really, really great interview with J.J. Abrams, who, of course, is directing the film, over on Wired, and he talked about, like, the juxtaposition of kind of juggling those two, and mm-hmm. I just love that, because I grew up with Star Wars as well, so I love that there are things in there, and he said this too, that like fans of the movies, the past movies, will be able to like resonate with. But at the same time, if you take somebody that has never seen a Star Wars film, they're going to be able to jump right in. It's just like those other little nods to the originals are going to have a deeper meaning to longtime fans. So yeah. I love that they've taken such good care of it from the sounds of it. And yeah.
I need to, I worked out this week why I am not into Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I worked out the reason, and it's because, I remembered that the first Star Wars movie that I ever saw, like my first memory that's associated with Star Wars, is I saw Attack of the Clones in cinemas.
All is explained.
When I was like 10 years old. I know. And as soon as I say that to anyone, they say like, "Oh, I totally understand. Yeah. I'm so sorry that that's what happened to you." Yeah. So like Attack of the Clones, I mean, people should know, but Attack of the Clones is arguably the worst, movie possibly only beaten by Phantom Menace. Like, definitely of the Star Wars movies, and possibly like just terrible movie ever.
I don't like sand. It's hard.
That was my introduction to Star Wars. Can you imagine? I mean, I can't imagine. It's my lived experience. So anyway, now that I've like realized that perhaps that's what has always blocked me from like being into it, I feel like maybe I can now have closure from that moment and like move through it.
Yeah.
Because Selena, your excitement is like contagious, and I feel like this movie looks amazing.
Yeah.
So maybe I just need to like condition myself to be a new Star Wars fan. Like to be that fan that Pam was saying hasn't seen a Star Wars movie. Just erase all memories of Star Wars movies, because they're all tainted by Attack of the Clones. And then just go in fresh and then experience it that way.
I highly recommend it's super thoughtful interview for anybody
really
that's
good,
interested.
Yeah.
Or it's with Wired, that it's so nice to hear him talk so candidly about this. And I'm sure he's done it in the past, and it's just I've kind of like skimmed through it, but something about this interview really resonated and struck a chord with me. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying, like, and Selena thinks she's like the only Star Wars fan on this panel. I've just been trying not to get my hopes up too high, because I grew up with the films, and then I remember going out to see the movies that everybody goes to, like one theater in the middle of town, and you know, you all go see them together. It was just like you thought you were excited, but then you realized how bad the newer ones were.
I did see a Star Wars film in theater with a friend. I have no idea which one it was. I don't remember a single thing about it other than someone falling in lava. That's literally
that's the last one.
Fall in lava.
That's literally that's the only scene I remember. And
it's episode three.
So I don't know how I feel, and like I think I have to see the prequels. Like before I see the new one.
I think the new one probably is going to stand on its own in a way that's going to be very refreshing. Because I think that's how, I mean, speaking about Merrimas going in blind to this new one, I think is actually a really good approach. Because when you go back and watch the originals now, if you don't have the patience and the sort of understanding of the fact that this is a huge phenomenon and you just watch the originals, you will see the bad effects, you will see the, again, slightly clunky dialogue, you'll see all the stuff that makes them less than perfect but no less iconic and amazing as a fan phenomenon. And when you see the prequels, you'll just see the bad acting and the bad dialogue and the bad storyline and the bad everything.
Like, and I watched...
But when you watch the new one, I feel like the new one's going to be the best of all of it. And again, it's setting my expectations way high up in the sky. But
I mean, like, even Harrison Ford said it was like really, really good.
Yeah.
And I feel like if Harrison Ford says that it's awesome, then
yeah,
it's I feel like awesome. True, because he's like the grumpiest man alive.
Something like that, or they paid him a lot of money to say that.
Second only to George Lucas, who is legitimately like the grumpiest person on the planet.
But there was also a bit of sad news from the Star Wars fandom realm. We've been keeping you updated on this story for the past week or so on Hypeable. A terminally ill Star Wars fan named Daniel Fleetwood. He was, of course, very, 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 very much looking forward to The Force Awakens in December, as we all are. And when he found out he might not make it to December, his family started petitioning Disney and Lucasfilm and J.J. Abrams to see The Force Awakens early. And he had, like, some of the actors were retweeting it on social media. It got, like, huge traction. And very, very fortunately, he got to see the film earlier this week, or this past weekend. He got to see an early cut of the film, and J.J. Abrams called him up and arranged it sort of personally. And he died a couple of days ago, only I think 5 days after seeing the movie. I think it's very, very, very sad, but it is very good that he got to see this movie, because as we know, fandom and the expectations of waiting for a thing is kind of, it can be like, it's so powerful for us, obviously. So him having such high hopes of getting to see this new Star Wars movie is just really great that he got to see it, I think. And it's the exact, like, I'm so happy that it worked out, because it's the exact plot of that movie Fanboys, if you've ever seen it. That was a fictional version of what happened.
Love that movie.
It's such a good movie.
Yes, and it's so good.
Mm-hmm. And in that movie, there's a group of friends that try to break into Skywalker Ranch because they have a terminally ill friend who wants to see. That's actually, that was the Phantom Menace that he wanted to see because he wasn't going to be around when it premiered. And that happened. And in reality now, that has happened as well. That is the small silver lining of this horrible story. So we just wanted to bring that up. And rest in peace, Daniel. And that's all the Star Wars news that I have. So some good and bad news.
Shall we move on to more movie news?
Let's do it.
Cool. So we got some really big casting news for the upcoming live adaptation of The Little Mermaid, which I know a lot of people were excited about. And now we know that Chloe Grace Moretz is going to be Ariel. So they announced this over the weekend, actually, wasn't it? They announced this over the weekend. And so the movie now officially has a main actress attached. It's got a writer in Richard Curtis, who also wrote Bridget Jones' Diary and Love Actually. And now we're just kind of waiting to hear how everything else falls into place, because as some of you might know, Sofia Coppola dropped out of the director's chair for this film, citing just kind of, I want to say irreconcilable differences. That's what people say when they divorce.
Yeah.
Creative differences with the studio on how this is going to be made. So I'm sure now that we have a lead actress involved in Chloe and a writer on board, it's only a matter of time before we find out who's going to helm this project. And of course, who else is going to star in this? So did you guys have any thoughts on this? Are you like excited at all? Are you looking forward to seeing Moretz in the role?
This is a hot topic in Disney break rooms.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, tell me more.
Give us a glimpse, Kyle.
In particular, the Disney break rooms that feature people who hang out with Ariel. And they're all, like, really upset. I'm upset
Why did they think they were going to get cast?
No, they don't think she's just like really, really young. And that's why they're upset. Which, like, it makes sense for the story because in the story she's like 16.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to cast her. I think a lot of people in the Disney bubble that I live in have adapted to seeing an older Ariel. And I don't know, we're maybe hoping for a more mature story other than like the stereotypical like little girl grows up and grows fans and falls in love. Like,
right. But isn't this based on the like original fairy tale? Not the Disney version?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So like, they're basing it off of Hans Christian Andersen's version, yeah. Which is very depressing.
I don't know if you know the original, Kyle, but like that is not a story of little girl growing up and falling in love and like happily ever after. It's like morbid as hell.
I know that those, like, I know that all the, aren't all the Hans Christian Andersen short stories like really morbid?
Yeah. It was like, yeah, depressing.
Yeah. They're all like terrible.
Yeah.
But like, so there's just really, I don't know how I feel about it. I don't like Chloe, so I don't know.
I feel like it's kind of surprising casting. I really like her actually, and I don't know, like people don't like her. I don't know. I've liked her in everything I've seen her. She seems really cool, and like I think she's really great. But I don't know. She just isn't the kind of person that I pictured for this. Not that I pictured someone older necessarily, but I guess I'm just really curious based on this casting, based on the fact that Sofia Coppola was meant to be directing. Like, I'm very confused about what direction this is going to go in, because I kind of can't see her in the story that is like the original fairy tale. Like, I can't really see them doing what happens in that story to her character in mm-hmm. a way. And I sort of can't see that happening in a Sofia Coppola production either. Not that her stories are like super happy and cheerful, but it's kind of a different take that she has, and I don't know, it seems a little incongruous in my head. So I wonder if maybe they're like changing the direction, especially if the person who wrote it did Bridget Jones. Like, like that's like a rom-com waiting to happen, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, that's not, that's like so much a girl dancing on knives because she wants to like make out with this prince. That's, you know, that's I don't know, it just seems like a lot of very like separate parts that I don't see how they fit together yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's not gonna turn into foam in this one.
I think most of the people that are upset at this are upset that it's not a Disney live action film and it's like a Universal retelling.
And that's really dumb. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, it's not dumb. I get why they would want a Disney live action because there's so many Disney live actions. But as Merriman said, this is not a Disney story. This is like most Disney stories. This is taken from another story that's been adapted by Disney and Disneyfied. And, you know, the original Hans Christian Andersen story is, I mean, you guys have already said this, but it's a very different story and it has nothing to do with Disney. And the fact that they want to take that story and turn it into a Hollywood film has nothing to do with Disney. And it shouldn't have anything to do with Disney. You know, it's kind of like when they're adapting the Grimm fairy tales. This one is just Danish. So that's nice. But mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like it's not a Disney adaptation, and it's not Disney's prerogative to, you know, to make this story. It's not Disney's. There's not only the Disney version, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, what she said.
That said, at the same time, I mean, I'm sure we will see a Disney live action Little Mermaid eventually, because there's like 5 Jungle Books happening right now, all based on different versions of the original story. So,
so next up, we have another new trailer, and this time it's a video game that's been turned into a movie. World of Warcraft is finally getting the Hollywood treatment, and I'm really excited about it because I used to be addicted to World of Warcraft.
Did you really?
I don't know if any of you knew that. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
There was a point, I think I
was that in like, your emo hair days.
Yes, it was actually.
How did I know?
I had just graduated from high school. I didn't want to go to college, and so like what I did was I told my parents I was gonna like find work, quote unquote, but really all I did was play Warcraft on my computer.
Kyle,
and I had a boyfriend.
You're like a punchline of a sitcom right now.
I know. And I had a boyfriend at the time, and he'd be like, oh, like, do you want to hang out? I'd be like, I'm kind of busy right now, so like maybe in like 2 hours after I finish this raid.
Wow. So I have a confession to make. I don't really know what World of Warcraft is, except for being a punchline in like The Big Bang Theory, which is also something that I don't like. So I don't really know how it could be a film, but like, feel free to explain that to me and possibly other people listening who don't know.
So basically the story about World of Warcraft is how all these races are kind of, there's like the dark side and the light side, if you want to talk about it. Like,
so Star Wars.
Yeah. So there's like an evil, like you can join the evil group or you can join the good group, right? The Alliance or the Horde.
Yeah, got it.
Exactly. And so they're all fighting. God, it's been so long and I forgot the reason that they're fighting each other.
It's the Hunger Games. They've all been thrown together. And then
So they have these races and each alliance, the Alliance and the Horde have different races. So like the Alliance has like house elves, but they have like elves and like gnomes. The Horde has like trolls and like all these things, and all these races fight together to fight the big war, you know? And so this is going to be about, I'm assuming it's going to be about people from both sides fighting for one outcome, which is going to be interesting.
Oh, okay. So this is World of Warcraft Battle of Five Armies is what I got from that.
That's what the trailer looks like too.
Yeah, exactly.
It is what the trailer looks like actually.
The effects are like exactly the same.
And it's going to be really good. Yeah, and there's a couple of commenters on the website there like, I don't like how cartoony they look, but like that's the game. The game isn't ever meant to, like, they're never going to do an upgrade and be like, all right, now this looks like the real world. Like, that's just not what's going to happen. So it makes sense that this
did it like 10 years ago.
They don't look as bad as like that orc with the stick for an arm in The Hobbit.
That's so true. Nothing does.
It would never be worse than that. So like, World of Warcraft fans, just be grateful that Peter Jackson isn't directing this movie.
But I mean, for fans, I can understand. I would be terrified. This would be like if they were making Zelda into a game. No, into a movie. I'd be like, oh no.
Why hasn't someone done that?
I think it's been a TV show. No, there was a rumor, wasn't there?
It's gonna happen.
It's gotta happen. Yeah. Like, it'll happen in the next 10 years, no doubt.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, so that's interesting news, and I'm looking forward to seeing how this does, because I have a feeling they'll pull a Jobs and pull it from the cinema after a week. But I might be wrong. You know, I might be underestimating the Warcraft fans. They're gonna come out in droves. See, they're not going to watch it because they're going to be addicted to playing the game. That's the catch-22 here.
I see.
Yeah.
They're not gonna,
Kyle's boyfriend's going to be like, do you want to go see the movie? And he's going to be like, I'm busy.
Maybe later, babe. Yeah.
All right. We have one more piece of movie news for you guys this week. And there's really no way to transition from World of Warcraft to this story, so I'm just going to go for it. As a lot of you may have heard, Jennifer Lawrence and Amy Schumer are pretty much like the new Squad Girl goals. And they've teamed up to write a script together for a comedy. And now we have a little bit more information as to what that will entail, because Jennifer Lawrence has been out doing all the premieres for the final Hunger Games film. And so, of course, people have been asking her about this Schumer collab that she's doing. And so this is what she had to say about that. She said that Amy in the movie has it very together, and her lifelong dream is to be a flight attendant. She works at the airport, and then in a nice little twist of events, Jennifer Lawrence is going to play somebody who's a total mess. So that's going to be fun, I'm sure, because you would probably assume that after Trainwreck, like, Amy Schumer would take on like the more like, I've got to get my life together type role. So it's kind of cool to see a little bit of a role reversal for that. And then she also said that there's not really boys in it, so don't expect to see any hunky co-stars. It's going to be a girl power type movie from the sounds of it. So, yeah.
I need this in my life. Like, now. I mean,
who doesn't?
Like, funny women being sisters in a movie. Yeah, that sounds like something I would be into.
I just think there need to be boys in it.
All right, Kyle.
No, I'm kidding. I swear, kidding.
Yeah, I mean, again, with them sort of talking about being sisters and one of them being a mess and one of them doesn't, like, this sounds exactly like the Tina Fey and Amy.
This does, yeah.
That's not right. Amy Poehler. Yeah.
Do they know that someone's already made this movie?
I know.
I'm sure there's a twist. And then they have a really big house party. And then, I mean, I don't even care. Look, I've seen how many repetitive, like, terrible rom-coms have we seen? How many, like, like World of Warcraft is like the last Hobbit movie. Like everything is derivative of everything. If this is the trend that's happening right now, I'm on board for that. That's fine by me. I don't even care.
It does sound really good.
Okay, well, if we're done, we'll do a little bit of TV news before we wrap up. We got a new trailer for Jessica Jones this week. This is the next Marvel Netflix show that we're going to get. Of course, my beloved Daredevil was the first one. And it's really, really dark. And I think it gives a pretty good insight into what kind of show this is going to be. I don't know if you guys checked it out, but Daredevil I loved, but you know, was quite like graphic and gory in a way, but was also kind of light at the same time. Jessica Jones is not light at all. The Jessica Jones material. Funny. Well, the story that it comes from basically is like David Tennant's character is like a mind controller. Yeah, there's like sexual abuse and like implied rape, and we don't know how far they're kind of going in the series compared to the comics, but in a way I think it looks like they're going a little further, and she's obviously dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder. Yeah, it's like a way different Marvel than we have ever seen. This is like so far removed from all of the like fun, happy MCU films, and even Daredevil, which kind of tied into that as well. Agent Carter is very like, yay, girl power, but you know, none of this going on. So I'll be really interested to see how people respond to this.
Yeah. I think this new trailer is really good. I really like the first trailer too, but I think we talked about it on the show a couple of weeks ago, how it was presenting her as being very passive, you know, and making the Kilgrave obsession story kind of the main point of this. Like she was a victim, and in this one she's very much not a victim. And I really like the look of this. I think it's gonna be great.
Yeah, we also get a really good look at Luke Cage as well, which is very exciting. Yes. So Marvel is like just lining up their series now.
I'm so sad. Yeah. Like, is he going to be in the show like for all of the episodes before he gets his own spin-off?
I'm really curious. I was talking about this. I was on an episode of Hero Hype recently, and I was talking about a question that I have about these is I'm really curious how much they're going to try and tie them into each other before they make the Defenders, which is the series that brings all of these characters together.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there are connections between all of them in the comics. Like, I don't want to spoil them for people who maybe don't want to know, but like there are very definite connections between all of them. And so, you know, I wonder like how large of a role they're going to play in each other's story. Cause in a way, like they can't play too big of a role. Cause then if they make like a second season, you would think, hey, why isn't this character here? You know, why are they off doing their own thing? So, but then it would also be a shame if he was only in like one episode and then was like, okay, peace. Like you deal with this yourself and like peaced out of there. So I don't know. It's an interesting thing. I think it would be smart if he was in a decent amount of it. Cause you know, a lot of these characters are lesser known to the general audience, so they want to try and introduce them and put up the anticipation. And
kind of like really when Barry dropped by on the Flash,
right in Arrow
or in Arrow. Before he went to Flash.
Jessica Jones happen in New York.
I'm glad you mentioned Hero Hype, by the way, because we meant to bring this up when we're talking about this superhero story. Obviously, we're running through the news really quick and we have a lot to get through on Hype. But if you want more in-depth superhero coverage and superhero show and movie and comic book discussions, then you should definitely check out Hypeable's Hero Hype podcast, because they...
I hear it's pretty good. I can say that. I'm not on it anymore.
And actually, Merima, you brought up something really good on Twitter, because I've sort of been thinking about Hero Hype as this show that is like obviously a show that covers superhero stuff, but you said that you really liked the fact that you'd been a part of creating a space for women to talk about superhero comics and shows and movies without any hate. So that's just a really inclusive space, and that's true. Like, I never realized that's what Hero Hype is, and that's what makes it so special.
So we did have a Hero Hype podcast on Hyperball many years ago, but I decided to bring it back a year ago now. We just had the anniversary show, and I brought Donya on to do that because I really wanted to have a place to talk about like all of these amazing TV shows and movies from like a feminist perspective and looking at the diversity of the shows and like, you know, important things that we want to talk about. And I feel like women's voices are often not heard in those conversations, which is why the Hero Hype hosts are women. And a lot of the, we've had guys on the show, but predominantly the guest hosts that come on are also women, because I feel like that's really important. So now it's Donya and Caitlin over there doing an amazing job, and they just went weekly because there are so many TV shows to talk about. We were fortnightly before that, so like every single week you can listen to awesome conversations about awesome ladies, and it's really good. It's just really nice. I love how it's just going along. It's a good time.
Great. Yeah, so check that out, but don't stop listening to Hype though, because we love you.
No, do both.
All right. We have one more news story before we move on.
Yes. And in the final news story, FX has officially confirmed that American Horror Story is going to return for season 6, which is not surprising, I don't think, because everyone and their mom almost like watches this. Even though I haven't watched this season, I have like watched every single season, and I've only watched literally half of the first episode for Hotel. So I don't know how the season is going. Have you guys watched it?
No.
Great. All right.
Everyone and their mom watches this. Nope. I watched one episode of this when I was staying at a friend's house in the States, and it was like the weirdest thing I have ever seen.
It's really bizarre. Yeah. Especially if you just catch like one episode, for sure. I'm looking forward to it because I don't like the concept of Hotel, and I don't like Lady Gaga, so I'm hoping Lady Gaga doesn't return for season 6, even though I think everyone like really likes her. But it'll be interesting to see what they do next season.
Yeah, it's fun that they can kind of reinvent it every time.
Yeah.
That's a cool concept.
Great. Amazing. And in related news, NBC also renewed Blindspot this week, so if you're a fan of that show, then you should be really excited. So speaking of TV shows, we're going to move on to TV show of the week, and we're going to kick off with Pam.
Yes. So I spent the weekend, and not even the weekend because it was so easy to get through, binging Aziz Ansari's new series on Netflix called Master of None. And if you have not seen this, you are missing out because it is just so great on like so many levels. It's so funny and it's so smart. And if you don't know what this is about, I'm going to brief you very quickly. So pretty much he co-created this show with Parks and Rec writer named Alan Yang and Michael Shore, who is a co-creator of Parks and Rec. And in it, he kind of plays kind of like a satirized version of himself. His character is named Dev, and he is a struggling actor in New York City. And the show just kind of deals with a lot of really poignant issues right now. And it's just like a really interesting look at like a cultural identity and race in Hollywood, because he's like always struggling to, you know, book a job. Specifically because like they go into the fact that like a lot of Indian TV roles are like made for like the stereotypical Indian man. And like, you know, he talks about how he's tired of playing a cab driver with an accent and things like that, wants to be taken seriously. But it's just really, really clever. And if you're looking for something fun to watch, I highly recommend doing that because it's really enjoyable and you're going to get through like all 10 episodes like that, and you're going to be wanting more. So,
oh my God, I keep seeing clips of this everywhere. I'm so excited that you like it. It looks so good.
I loved it. And they treat every episode kind of like a mini movie. So every episode kind of touches on something different. But then, of course, you have like the underlying themes that kind of go in and out. Like he's always kind of looking for work and this and that. But like one of the first episodes, you meet his parents, and they're actually played by his real parents, and they kind of go into, you know, there's a lot of like immigration is a big part of American culture, and so he talks about how like, oh, like I've had such a privileged life, so like I want to learn more about my parents and how they struggled and this and that. And so it's really smart. I can't say enough great things about it. And after you're done with that, he also wrote a really thoughtful piece that came out in the New York Times today, where he talked about interviewing this actor in Short Circuit 2 who put on brownface to play this character in the movie. And because brownface and like, you know, like the history of Indians and film and television is something that they touch a lot on the TV show. So yeah, he's just such a smart guy. And the show is really great. So Merima, that's your homework. You have to go watch this now.
Yes.
So that we can talk about it. And everybody else, I really hope that you give it a shot because it's really, really good.
Cool. And what do you have, Merima?
Well, my favorite show, well, one of, but my favorite show right now, Elementary, came back last week and it was amazing. It was the season 4 premiere. I wrote about why it was so good. We'll get to that later. It was like everything that I needed it to be. What I love about Elementary is that it focuses so much on the friendship between Sherlock and Watson. And it really went back to that. It had kind of, you know, like swerves here and there as the series goes on, but had really gone back to that for the first episode, and I thought it was amazing, and I don't want to like spoil anything if people haven't watched it, but if you haven't watched it, like, what are you doing? Get on that, which was so, so good. And then also last week's episode of Arrow was so weird and cool. It was the episode that Constantine was on from the Paul like canceled TV show. Yeah. So Constantine was like a TV series that like finished up at the start of this year and it wasn't renewed. NBC canceled it, but like they brought the character over to Arrow and it was just like the weirdest piece of fan service ever, but it was really cool. They tied it in really well with what's happening on the show right now. Unfortunately for like Constantine and Hellblazer fans, it doesn't seem like the character is going to be returning anytime soon, but you never know in Arrow, like people come back all the time. So yeah,
even
so
people was... who die.
Right, exactly. Like now on Arrow, literally anyone can come back anytime. So that's great. But yeah, I just thought they did it so well. And I was kind of surprised that they didn't promote it more. Because yeah, I feel like the promotional stuff for the episode didn't really feature Constantine, which was weird to me because I was
no, kind
of selling point of it. I wonder if that was part of the deal of like using the character or something. I don't know. But,
it was such a great surprise. I totally forgot that he was going to be in it. And like when I saw him show up, I was like, whoa.
I love that you could forget that he was in it. Like I talk to Donya frequently, so like I could never have forgotten this. It's like a favorite. It's like a favorite TV series. But yeah, I'm glad you liked it as well. I didn't actually watch the Constantine TV series because like I'm not a huge fan of the character actually, but I felt like he was used really well in a way that made sense for Arrow, which was important for me, not just like thrown in there just cause. And the stuff with like the tattoo and things that they brought up in this episode, I'm really interested to see what happens with that in the rest of the season. So that was really fun.
Nice. And I'm watching Arrow, as I teased at the beginning of the show as well. I am halfway through season 2. I think I just finished episode 15. I like it. I do.
You're in the Slade Wilson years.
Oh God, yes. I'm so heartbroken by what's like the fact that he's evil, because I liked him so much and like his voice and just but yeah, I mean, you know, I was saying this a couple of weeks ago, I was kind of stubbornly saying I'm going to like it, and you were like, maybe you won't like it, blah, blah, blah. But I do. So I'm glad I stuck
thank
it
god
out. I know it was a hard road to get to this point, and there is still some stuff that I'm like, yeah, I think if I'd watched it like at the time, like week to week, I don't think I would have kept up with it, because I feel like there's some stuff that just, I don't know, we've talked about that, you know, you guys, everyone who's an Arrow fan says that you have to get through the first season, but honestly, I thought the first season was so bad, I don't understand how it was renewed, but I am so glad it was, because season 2 is fantastic, so all is well.
And wait till you get to season 3.
I've heard some stuff, and obviously it's hard for me because I was kind of just also spent most of season 1 just waiting for Sarah to show up because I knew she would. And like I knew,
right.
I know some
she's
stuff.
The best.
Yeah, oh my God, she's the best. I'm like,
yeah, well,
it
yeah.
was like she first came on screen and I was like, oh, why is she pouting so much? That's weird. But then she's just a fantastic character, and everything about her story is just really good and really refreshing. And I'm so glad she's around, because before that time, pretty much the only person that I was like I was happy when they came on screen was Felicity. And I also like,
right.
I still
and Tommy.
Kind of, and Tommy,
Tommy,
this is our.
I'm never over it.
and I still have some issues with Oliver. Like you guys have kind of talked about this too, like how he's not like totally a good guy, and sometimes he does or says things. I'm like, that is horrible. Mm-hmm. And you know, I know that a lot of people have problems with Laurel. I can see why. And also, I don't know what happened to her face this season. I'm sure you guys have, you know, all of this is like old news to you, but it's very strange. But I feel just so bad for her. I feel like everything bad is happening to Laurel. And then Sarah just comes back and she just, they pretty much just picks off where she left off with Oliver. And then Oliver's like, I have loved you for half my life and I'm done following you around. And I'm like, Oliver, please, you're not following her around. You're just sleeping with everybody and just being judgmental of this girl who's having a hard time. So that was something I took issue with.
That's a great summary of Oliver's character, meanwhile. Yeah.
So that's kind of, and I adore the Oliver Felicity Diggle bromance that's going on. And I'm obviously waiting for the Oliver Felicity stuff, if it's ever going to happen. But I also really did like when Barry came in and they were so cute. Mm-hmm. I'm just on board with all of it.
Love this.
Yeah. I mean, I think because I had a train ride, like a 6 hour long train ride, like over the weekend, like both ways, so I watched like 10 episodes of it on the train, and after a while, like I couldn't hold my interest, because there are some stuff like the fight scenes and everything with Roy, I love Colton Haynes, but his character never really clicked with me, so I'm like, nah. But I think in general, now that the island stuff ties in with the present day stuff, I'm totally on board with it. And like Shadow and why, and that was all sad. Yeah, I'm totally on board and I am really enjoying it.
Yes. Yay. I love this. I'm also very like cognizant of the fact that you are so far behind when I talk about Arrow now. I really don't want to spoil it for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
It's funny that you're like binging it, because before we started Hero Hype, I had to race through the first two seasons of Arrow because I had never seen it before.
How was it like for you?
Well, I basically got obsessed with it straight away. Mm-hmm. I didn't find the slowness, and I think that's because I watched most of it on a plane ride for 15 hours each way, so I really had nowhere else to go.
Meditative about like sitting like
I that. Like raced through it, and so I totally get what you mean. I think if you're watching it week to week, it could have been a bit of a slog at the start, but season two is so good. Mm-hmm. Though
it is very, very good, because that's what I love, is that it's all tied into the characters' connections to each other and their mm-hmm. backstories and their moral choices, and it's all about the characters. It's not about like the week to week, like who has failed the city this week, and like oh my god, they say this city all the time. This city,
yeah,
this
that's
city,
my drinking
city.
Game. That's my drinking game I've always wanted to play, but you would go to the hospital within like 15 minutes. So maybe don't do
it's
that.
It's just crazy.
I hope when you are caught up to season three, you're going to mm-hmm. watch The Flash as well.
I am going to watch, for sure. I don't know if I'm going to switch back and forth, because you know like how you get really into binging one thing. It's kind of hard mm-hmm. to make yourself switch. But maybe like I'm sure there's a guide somewhere, like maybe watch the first five and then switch or something like that.
There'll be like a Buffy Angel type guide, I'm sure, of like what order to watch them in.
But that guide is just dumb, because it's basically just one and then the other.
True. Like wiki it, someone will do it for you.
I'll ask Donya. She'll know.
Yeah, ask Donya. She'll have a guide ready made.
I mean, it is funny, and it's funny watching it sort of knowing that I actually know. Because you know like when you watch a show, an old show, you make yourself forget everything you know. Like what you've been spoiled about, you know, but there are some stuff that unfortunately I do know, and I'm kind of just waiting for it to happen. But you know what? I like it a lot. So we shouldn't spend a lot of time on it, but we already have. So
too late.
I hope you like Arrow, guys.
Everyone likes Arrow. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, let's do Hot on Hyperbole quickly. I wanted to shout out to all these fun opinion articles we have this week. I love opinion articles, like my favorite thing. Ariana wrote probably my favorite article of this week, which is why J.K. Rowling needs to make Albus Severus a Slytherin. It's so clever. It's so smart. This is looking at Cursed Child, tying into like kind of what we now know about what the show is going to be about, and also looking back at the representation of Slytherins in Harry Potter, which was somewhat problematic. I think we could agree. Mm-hmm. So I just love that. She makes such a great argument, and it's it's just really fun. And for all those people like myself who are consistently called Slytherins, it's nice to like have a positive spin put on it. So I appreciated that. We also had a really fantastic article tying into something we were talking about last week, which is why a Hunger Games theme park is just the worst idea that has ever happened. And this was actually written by a Hyperbole reader. So that was fun. It was submitted to us through our News by You feature, where you can like write an article and have it published on the site. And it's so smart and so important. And I would strongly encourage everyone to go and read that. It's like just such a fantastic insight into the whole issue and like why it is a really big problem. And then as I mentioned earlier, I wrote a really popular article about, I think everyone agrees with me guys, why elementary is better than Sherlock. As we can assume, no one had an issue with that.
No, and it was really
the world was happy. Yeah.
They were like, oh, that's your opinion, we respect and understand it.
Yeah, I don't even care.
Read that article though, and I really thought it was really good and made me want to watch Elementary.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you to say. I just love Elementary. It's the show that I wish Sherlock could be, in a way, although like they're very different, but just in terms of like the feeling that you get from it, the emotional connection, I found that lacking, excluding Sherlock season one, which like I think we can all agree was kind of a masterpiece, minus the super racist part of that. But, you know, the rest of it was great. So whatever. I love Elementary more. Be mad at me. I don't care. And then Danielle also wrote an article about fandom fatigue and how to take a break.
Yes. We have
the intense.
Thank you, Danielle.
Yeah, all consuming at times, but that is a great guide to like how to take a step back and look after yourself, and things will wait. And here's some, like, she gives some steps of things you can do, which I think is really helpful, versus just being like, okay, like, peace out and see you later, because like that's easier said than done, because you're like, but I need to know what's happening on Twitter, like I need to know about my new show, like what if there's a spoiler for Quantico, like whatever. So that was really good. We also had a couple articles this week for Neil Gaiman's birthday, which Selena put one together of all of our favorite quotes and did some beautiful graphics, and Natalie wrote one about all of his adaptations that are like upcoming, which there are so many. I did not realize there were so many things coming up. And then also I want to give a shout out to this, which should be for obvious reasons. Natalie wrote this article last week, which was a fan casting article for Cursed Child. And you only need to look at the top person in that list to understand why I'm including it. Harry Potter played by Ben Whishaw. End of article. The end. End of conversation. Pam, imagine if that actually happened. I would like explode.
You know what? I can't imagine if that actually happened, because
you guys are like hyperventilating
too much. We're like, we can't talk right now, and it's like a suggestion in an article on an entertainment site.
If we both end up going, are we sitting next to each other? Because yeah, that's probably even more dangerous than like actually having Ben Whishaw play.
Just hear like this high pitched squee noise. Like, where is that coming from? It's Merriman Pam.
No,
just like,
we're gonna contain.
All the dogs in like a cloak turn towards the theater. Like, what is happening? Anyway,
of those articles
and many more, as always, it's on hyperbole.com. Lots of
Pam
fun things
is like broken.
it's like she
seriously, it's
wrote
perfect
critical for us.
Yeah,
it's great.
I left.
All right, I'm done. I'm done.
Yeah,
it hasn't happened yet. That's
but it might happen.
Yes. Oh, we'll have to wait and see. We'll get your live reactions if that happened. That would be amazing.
Reporting live from Theta.
Okay, so we're running super long, but we actually do have a lot of feedback to get through this week, because you guys are amazing and you wrote in with a lot of stuff. And the first one we actually want to read out is an email. We got an email. Yay! It from, of course, to hype@hypeable.com. And this one is from Kathleen, and I'm going to make Merima read it, because I know you were super excited.
Oh my God, yes. This is from Kathleen, who says, hey guys, I love the show. Thanks so much for all the work you put into it. You're amazing. Oh, Kathleen, that's so nice of you. I'm just writing because I was also super excited for the new episodes of Gilmore Girls. I actually convinced my boyfriend to dress up as Luke and Lorelai with me for Halloween this year. He carried his coffee pot filled with Pepsi everywhere. It was so funny. I've attached a photo just for fun. I thought you might enjoy it. Also here in Toronto, where I live, there is a comedy group that does a monthly improv show called Gilmore Girlprov, and they improv quote-unquote lost episodes of the show. It's the best. They even do Gilmore Girls trivia at the end and hand out Pop-Tarts as prizes. Kathleen, that is the cutest picture I have ever seen in my life. He's a keeper.
Yes.
That's amazing.
And she looks so much like Lorelai.
Yeah, that's you've cast yourself well. Like, I like that you went for Lorelai and Luke as well, as opposed to like Rory, because I feel like that's a way more fun costume choice. So thanks for sending it in. I'm going to look at this photo anytime I'm sad, because yes. It just makes me so happy that people are as excited about Gilmore Girls as Pam and I are.
Mm-hmm. We're not alone.
Yeah, no, definitely. Now someone send us a photo of them dressed up as Ben Whishaw for Halloween.
Exactly.
Yeah, please.
Should I take the next one since I All right, so we also have a comment from George who says, thanks for telling us to read Simon versus the Homo sapiens agenda. It's just the Homo sapiens or agenda. Wasn't it?
No, the Homo sapiens agenda.
That's what I thought. Okay. I love it. Do any of you have any other recommendations for good LGBT books? And I guess I'll turn it back over to Marima for this one.
Yes, I do. Giving book recommendations is like my favorite hobby. So George, you have unleashed
the beast.
Yeah, you did not reckon with. I'll keep this to like a couple. I would definitely recommend Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe by Benjamin Alire-Sines, which is this kind of beautiful character study of these two boys who are friends, or maybe something more. And it's about them like exploring their sexuality. And it's just everyone cries in this book. Like, be prepared for that. Like, every single person cries when they read it. For something that is more recent, you could try Carry On by Rainbow Rowell, which I think we've mentioned on the podcast before. It's basically her take on Harry Draco fan fiction, but keep with me here. It's actually grown on me a lot since I read it. At the start, I was kind of put off by that, but she has a really clever take on it, and it kind of addresses some of the problems with Harry Potter from someone who is like obviously a huge, huge fan. And it's a really, really funny, like quirky, beautiful love story between the two boys, and also like this really cool Chosen One story. So if you're into that. And then for girls, you could read The Difference Between You and Me by Madeline George, which is about these two girls in high school, and they kind of have this secret romance, and like one's a like this preppy, like she's like the, you know, council president or whatever, and the other girl's this like punk kind of loner type, and it's about them kind of navigating that. And it's really, really sweet. And I enjoyed that a lot. Or you could read like anything by David Levithan, because they are all LGBT inclusive and really, really fun. So that should give you enough to get started with. But if not, please ask me for more. I love doing this. It's so much fun.
Yeah. If we didn't already run like super long, we should have like weekly book recommendations.
Oh my God,
we
yes.
can do that. We should try to do that actually.
Oh my God, people ask me. Yes. I love to do this. It makes me genuinely so excited to post books on people.
That's awesome. Yeah, please do that. Actually, that's a good thing to ask people to comment on. Kyle, do you want to take the next comment?
Yeah, absolutely. So the next comment is from Rochelle, and she says, hey, have you guys been keeping up with the new Muppet show? I am a diehard fan of the original Muppets, so I need to know if it's worth my childhood. Thanks. Oh. I like that you say worth my childhood and not like if it'll like ruin your childhood. I actually commented back on the website, but for those who don't look at our comments on the website, I said, yes, you should definitely watch it because it's great. I have been catching up and I'm about to watch like the newest episode that came out tonight, like after this. And I don't think it doesn't ruin your childhood at all. If anything, it just like it brings it to your adulthood in a way, if that makes any sort of sense at all, because like it's these characters that you've seen as a kid and now you get to interact with them and they're doing these adult things and you're doing these adult things. So everything makes more sense. And it's just like, it's great. And it's hysterical still. It's so funny because before they were funny on a kid level and now they're funny on an adult level, which is astounding.
Great. And the final couple of comments from Twitter are not questions, so we can just run through them super quickly. Pam, do you want to take the first one? And then we go Kyle, Marima, and Kyle again.
Sure, sounds good. Abby Lee says, thank you, Kyle, Team Logan, because at least when he left, he said goodbye, but none of them were really truly worthy. # Gilmore Girls.
Rachel Wunsch says, don't watch Cruel Intentions sequels, hypeable. It's just as bad as Bring It On sequels. Got it. I had no plans on doing so.
All right, well, this one's to Kyle. Olivia says, just know Kyle is not alone. I started reading his Dark Materials back when I was in about third grade and stopped because I was scared, but I'm excited for this because now that I'm older, I can go back and read them all. That is a great approach.
And then the final comment is from Kimberly, and she says, so excited for the Hamilton special. You guys are the best.
Yay! Heart.
Well, you're welcome.
Do we know when that's coming out?
Hopefully once we've recorded it. So it might be out before our next episode. Ooh, fingers crossed. That would be the plan.
Exciting.
So that'll be the next you hear of some of us. Who knows who? It's me. I'm just
you.
Yeah, the Hamilton special is actually Marimo recording a one-woman show for 90 minutes. Yeah. Hope you guys are on board with that. Great.
You're going to do all the parts.
Just gonna sing.
Yeah. I have been practicing this for like a month
now. You guys don't know this, but Marimo's the true star rap legend of Australia.
Yeah, Rebel Wilson, step aside. Yeah, I'm all about
exactly that. Move over Iggy Azalea, it's actually Marimo.
Don't compare me to Iggy, that's mean.
Well, anyway, we're super excited to hear the Hamilton special, and we're super excited to hear Marimo wrangling a group of very 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 excited girls from Hypeable, who, you know, there are like 10 of you, so it's going to be crazy. And that will be up on the feed, so all Hamilton fans, yay!
Send us your feedback if there's stuff you want to talk about.
And you can do that either by tweeting us at HypeableHype or going to Hypeable.com, that's HYPABLE, and commenting on the post of this podcast, which is episode 73. And you can email us, hype@hypeable.com. That's HYPE@hypeable.com. And that wraps up the show this week. Thank you so much for listening. Let us know what stories you were excited about, what stories you wish we talked about that we didn't, and what you want us to talk about next week. Send your book recommendations to Marima and the rest of us. Perhaps we can help. And I think that is everything. My name is Selena.
My name is Pamela.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Marima.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Something Hamilton, la la la, I referenced. Okay. Oh, it's me. I was like so intent on not like jumping in on anyone else's story that I forgot it was my turn.